Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
In the Hebrew and the Greek for worship, and they cover the gamut, don't they? Anywhere from bowing to being clamorously foolish and everything in between. So tonight we're going to talk about worship and how it relates to the spiritual discipline of spiritual warfare. And I found a couple of quotes. One of them was a quote that I read from one of the commentaries that I was using, and the other was a man named Chuck Pearson. He said this: God is establishing a new authority in his church to break through to the third heaven, to gain the heart of God and carry that revelation back to earth as we accomplish his will. As we do, we change the atmosphere around us. God's will done here on earth as it is in heaven. The quote I read in one of the commentaries said this: when we release the sound of worship, the earth must respond. There is power in lifting our voices in acclamation of the true living God. We can speak, we can sing, we can shout. The expressive power of the hands generate a mighty sound. We can clap, play an instrument, lift our hands in worship. We can stand, we can bow, we can dance. So, if you've ever wanted to dance and worship, you're okay. It's good. You can do that. If you want to bow, you can do that. If you want to clap your hands, you can clap your hands. And I think sometimes we don't take into account, when it comes to things like this, the how diverse and diverse God is, and how he does things so many different ways that we can't even dial into everything that God and how diverse God is. We're going to spend a whole eternity discovering that, and we still won't discover it all. That's a big God. So we're going to talk about spiritual warfare, and we're going to kind of use a story in 2 Chronicles 20, and I'm sure that it's one that you are probably pretty familiar with. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. There's just a ton of stuff in the story. And if you read just before this, the chapter before, King Jehoshaphat had almost gotten himself into a train wreck by making an alliance with Ahab. And it did not turn out well. And so if you start, we'll start reading at verse 1, it said, "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and the others besides them, besides the Ammonites, came to do battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all the land of Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, 'O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand against you, or able to stand against you? Are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever?'" Let's drop down to verse 13. It says, "Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the congregation. He said, "Listen, all you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord and worshipped the Lord. Then the Levites of the children, and you can go down and we'll read some more. And I think we'll stop right there, because what happens, we can go down to verse 27. It says, "And they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the reign of Jehoshaphat, realm of Jehoshaphat, was quiet, for God gave him rest all around." So we're going to kind of use this story to talk about a few things. And I thought about this. If there's anything that the enemy would like to contaminate, and that the enemy would like to throw a monkey wrench in, it's worship of God. He does not like it when we worship God. And he tries to get us, if he can keep our worship in a lethargic, tepid mode, he knows that we're not going to be effective when it comes time to fight. Now, this is the same. You can take these things right into the natural, from the natural to the and into the spiritual. And if you've got an army that is lethargic in their training, if they're just kind of there and they're not really into what they're supposed to be doing, when it comes time to fight, they're not going to be prepared and they're not going to be ready to fight. And I wrote this down: lethargic worship equals not much victory. Lethargic worship equals not much worship. Worship, more often than not, is birthed on the battlefield more than it is in the atmosphere of ease. Worship is birthed more often on the battlefield than it is in the atmosphere of ease. The reason worship is such a power, you ever wondered why Satan, other than the fact that, yeah, it's because he hates God. Now, this was a question the Lord asked me when I was studying this out and looking at this. He said, "Why does he hate worship so much? Why does your enemy hate worship so much?" And I said, "Because he hates you." He goes, "Well, yeah," but he said, "There's another reason." I got a smile on my face when he told me this. The reason worship is such a powerful and effective part of spiritual warfare is because it is a constant reminder to the enemy of his continuous and imminent defeat. Every time you worship and you start talking about how good God is and how God has delivered you, every defeat that the enemy has ever suffered comes to his mind. Every time God has whipped his butt, it comes to his mind. And so that's why he doesn't like worship. That's why worship is, for him, is like fingernails on a chalkboard. He hates it. He doesn't like it because it reminds him not only of the continual defeats that he's already suffered, but it also reminds him of the defeat that he is going to suffer. Every time we we start talking to God about how good he is. And we start worshiping the Lord. And we start talking about how worthy he is. It reminds him of who he was in heaven. It reminds him of who he was. It reminds him of what he was. And it reminds him of what he lost. And it also reminds him of what's ahead for him. Worship opens spiritual eyes to see God as he really is. And to see the truth of his word as it really is. That's what worship is for. When it comes and we start talking about spiritual warfare, when we begin to worship, we begin to see and we begin to come into God's presence. We begin to see him like he really is. It becomes more apparent to him. Why? Because our eyes are opened to things. And the closer we come to him, the more he opens our eyes and our understanding to not only who he is, but even the power of the word and the messages and the thoughts and the mindsets of the word become more evident to us because we've sharpened our spiritual senses. And our spiritual senses are more heightened because of worship. It opens our, it takes the focus off of ourselves. It takes the first, the, especially in spiritual warfare, it takes the focus off of us. It takes the focus off our circumstances, and it puts the focus on God, his might, and his power. That's what worship does in spiritual warfare. Pure worship brings every thought captive. Pure worship brings every thought captive. Do you realize that when you worship, you can't sin? When you worship, really worship, you can't doubt. When you really worship, you can't fear. Why? Because you're in God's presence, and those things don't exist in his presence. Those things have no place in his presence. And so when you're really in a place where you are in a place of worship and you are seeking the throne of God and you are communing in fellowship with him in his presence, you can't sin. You can't doubt. You can't fear. You can't do any of those things because in his presence, those things are not welcome and they don't come in. They're not allowed. Pure worship brings every thought captive. So, because spiritual warfare is increasing. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to have a doctorate in theology to figure this one out. That spiritual warfare is becoming more and more intense. And it's becoming stronger. Now, what does the word tell us? That in the last days, what? The enemy is going to go around with great wrath because he knows his time is short. If you have any doubts about that, read the paper, watch the news, listen to things. People are losing their minds. Basically, yeah. People are Kathy, she follows the politics stuff more than I do. And I'm always hearing this. People are losing their minds. People are going nuts. And I have to agree with her. And because that's intensifying and it's becoming stronger and it's becoming more intense, the way we live and the way we battle has to change to meet the challenges of that. We have to change and modify how we are fighting in order to meet that. Listen, the depth of your relationship with Christ and how much time you're spending with him and you've spent with him. See, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, is not sufficient to meet the attacks of the enemy today. As the enemy's attacks increase, your time in worship, your time before the Lord, has to increase too. It's a good word, Mark. Thank you. Culture is changing. So have the enemy's tactics. Culture has changed. Culture's changing. Again, you don't have to have a doctorate in theology to see this. He's changing his tactics. The tactics that he's used in the past, he is moving in different ways, and he's attacking in different modes. So we have to adjust our tactics too. We have to adjust our tactics according to the Word of God on how we battle him and how we fight and how we come into battle. We have to adjust our tactics and use the ones that we know we're going to defeat him. Now, there are people who are still trying to, and I already mentioned this, but there's people who are still trying to get by spiritually on what they had 10, 15 years ago. And that, you know what? You know what that's like? That's like going into a battle using bow and arrows and swords and spears while the enemy's up to RPGs, tanks. If you're going to beat him, you have to change the tactics, change what you're doing in order to fight effectively. Didn't Paul say, he said, I don't fight like one who just swings at the air. He said, I don't fight. I fight effectively. I fight and I use the tactics that I know are going to defeat him. The object is, and how do we do that? How do we get the tactics? How do we come to that place? And I honestly had never thought of it this way before, but the way we do that is the object for us in spiritual warfare is to ascend in worship. Ascend in worship. And prepare to fight. And then descend from worship, ready to fight. Does that make sense? We ascend in worship to get preparation to fight. And then we descend from worship, ready to go. We go to the throne room to receive wisdom, instruction, revelation, and power for battle. And then we use those things when we do battle. Now, you know as well as I do, every day, you're going to face the enemy in some way. You're going to face temptation in some way. You're going to face your flesh in some way that you have to be ready. You have to have the tactics. You have to have the battle plan to be able to win. And I don't know about you, but when I go into something like that, I don't go in to lose. We are not losers, folks. I tell you what, when we get to heaven, we're not going to go in just dragging our swords and our shields and just, you know, staggering through the gates. That's not how we're going into heaven. We're going in as a conquering, victorious army. Amen. That's how we're going in. That's how I'm going in anyway. You can stagger in if you'd like to, but no. I want people to know when I get to heaven, I don't want my armor all shiny and bright and everything. I want them to see the dents. I want them to see the places on my shield where I've stood and I've deflected the darts, fiery darts of the enemy. I want them to see the dings in my sword where I've gone to battle. That's what I want people to see. I want them to know that this was a guy who warred. This is a guy who didn't get, this was a warrior. I may not look like one, but in my spirit, I'm 8 foot tall. We have to have heavenly revelation in order to fight here. If you don't have heavenly revelation to fight here, you're going to be fighting ineffective. You're going to be using ineffective tactics to fight the enemy. And sooner or later, he will overcome you. And the only way we can get what we need is we have to have revelation. That comes through worship. When you enter into worship, And you begin to seek the Lord, and you begin to fellowship back and forth with him. He opens up to you, and he reveals himself to you, and he shows you things. You don't believe? I can go back and show you this all the way through the Old Testament. There are so many places where once guys and people had an encounter with God, God began to speak to them and give them revelation about how to fight. Gideon, he didn't have any idea how to defeat the army of the Midianites until he had that encounter with God, and God said, "You're a mighty man of valor." And I can almost see him turn around and see if he was talking to somebody else. But then God said, "Okay, now that you've had that encounter with me, now that we've got the fellowship started and you're coming to me," because you can read where Gideon said, "Wow, I've seen God." Then God began to give him the battle plan. Joshua was the same way. He stood looking at Jericho and wondering, how are we going to do this? And the angel of the Lord shows up. And Joshua begins to worship. And as he worships, then the battle plan comes, the instructions come, the wisdom comes. And you cannot fight effectively, you cannot fight your enemy effectively if you are not on a daily, I'll say it again, daily place where you are receiving revelation. You've got to have it. I have to have it. Listen, I there's some of this stuff I took a whooping over. Because there are things that the Lord's talking to me about in this, about spiritual warfare. Worship takes us into a different realm. Your worship should take you into a different place than where you're at. If you're worshiping purely, it will take you into a different place. The promises of God become reality to us. Because when we go to that different realm, our faith rises to a new level. The closer you get to God, the higher the level of your faith grows. And you begin to see the promises of God, not as something you hope for, but you begin to see the promises of God as reality. You begin to see this word not as a list of hopes, but a list of realities. You don't hope God heals. You know God heals. You don't hope God provides. You know God provides. You don't hope God delivers. You know God delivers. It's because when you come into that place of faith, you come into that place of worship, it increases and your faith goes to another level because you're going into a different realm in worship. Worship multiplies and strengthens faith. Worship multiplies and strengthens faith. When we get into that other realm, see, we're seeing God more like he is. We're seeing God more in the sense of how he is and who he is. And because we do that, it makes us realize even more than before that God is for us. No, you didn't get that. It makes us realize even more that God is for us. And because he's for us, he's going to give us the tactics. He's going to give us the tools. He's going to show us how to use our weapons effectively to defeat the enemy. I don't know about you. This is some good stuff. Worship impacts the atmosphere. And it changes it from a natural atmosphere to a supernatural atmosphere. Worship impacts the atmosphere, and it changes it from a natural atmosphere to a supernatural atmosphere. Think about Paul and Silas. They were in a natural atmosphere. They were hurting a couple of guys. They were in prison. But the word tells us they did what? They sang. They were singing. And as they sang and they worshiped, it changed the atmosphere from a natural atmosphere into a supernatural atmosphere. Prison doors began to swing open. Earthquakes, the earth began to shake because they started to praise, and their worship took them to another realm. And it took them from a natural realm into a supernatural realm. Elijah and the prophets of Baal, they were in a normal atmosphere. But what does Elisha do? He does his thing with the altar, and he starts what? He starts to pray. He starts to thank God. He starts to talk to God about how good he is and how great he is. And man, the atmosphere changed from natural to supernatural, and fire fell. Now, I don't know about you, but that's probably not a very common occurrence to see fire fall out of heaven. And in the manner it did. Listen, the word is full of this. This is a spiritual truth because the word is full of time and time again of incidents where this happened. When people began to pray and they began to worship, even in this one right here that we read tonight, Jehoshaphat, what did he do? He said, it said Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was afraid. But he did what? He called the people together, proclaimed a fast. And listen, it said that even the little ones, the children, they had to fast and they had to come and pray. But because they did, God said, okay, here's the plan. Number one, you don't even have to fight this one battle. This one's mine. I'll take care of this. Here's what you have to do. And again, when it says they worshiped, what did God do? He gave them the battle plan. He gave him the tactics. Object is to ascend. We go to the throne room, receive wisdom, and you have to have that revelation. And it impacts, once we get that, it impacts the atmosphere. You want to change the atmosphere in things that you're going through in your spiritual battle? When you're fighting the enemy, you want to take the atmosphere from that. See, the enemy wants to keep you in the natural atmosphere. You hear me? He wants to keep you in this natural atmosphere because he knows this is where he can whip you. He knows this is where he can take you. Man, but when you start to worship and you step over into that supernatural realm, he knows he's in trouble. Because he knows that's where you're going to get your instruction. That's where you're going to get your tax. See, God is so varied, and he is so varied in how he does things and the tactics that he uses. The enemy, in all the years he's fought God, has never been able to figure out the tactics that God uses. He's never been able to see him coming. I was thinking about this, and when we went down and got to lead Kathy's brother Tim to the Lord. And we were believing God was going to heal him, going to raise him up. And God in his providence decided to take him home. So I'm sitting at work one day. And I don't even think I've told you this, but the enemy began to pound on me. There you go. Prayed again. Believe God again. What happened? What happened? God didn't answer. And I sat there for a minute, and I thought, and I start talking. Listen, you've got to, and I think Pastor Sean's missing this. You got to be spiritually aware enough to be able to talk to the devil. And I said, you know what, devil? Man, that's got to chaff your hide. That's just got to make you so angry. How does it feel, devil? Knowing that the Lord came in and snuck another one right out from under your nose. That he got another one away from you. And another one is safe. And another one will never be touched by you. You can't touch him again. How does that feel, devil? That must make you feel really good. And you know what? I began to taunt him over that. I began to taunt the devil over that and say, guess what? Man, that must feel good, devil. Happened again, didn't it? You're a loser from the word go. And you always will be. So you have to, that's how you change the atmosphere in your battle, is you can't stay in the natural and fight. What did Paul say? He said the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. They're not natural. They're supernatural. And so to use them, you have to step into the supernatural. You have to step into this. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be, hear weird music and just start seeing weird things. That's not what stepping into the supernatural means. Stepping into the supernatural realm means that this word becomes alive to you. And this word is what you begin to see what this word says, and you step out of what the natural says and what the natural believes. And you believe what this book says, and you stand on what this book says, and you go by what this book says. And you stand in a supernatural place. I mean, I'm still standing here. But in the spirit, I step into a different place in my spirit. I step into a different place in my heart. I gotta hurry. So we said this. The object is to ascend in worship, prepare for battle, and then descend from worship, ready to fight. So how do we ascend? I just wrote some things down here. Number one, give God time. Give God time. It requires sacrificial time. You cannot dash in and out of God's presence and expect results. You can't have a hit and run in God's presence and expect results. You have to be in His presence. You have to take time in His presence. It takes discipline. There's that D word. My favorite word. Discipline. It takes discipline to do this. Now, I wish I could tell you that I had this down pat, but like I told you in the beginning, this has been the year of discipline for me, where God has worked with me and is working with me on my discipline. And it is hard. Now, maybe you're one of those persons where, it's easy for you to discipline yourself. Yeah, I'm not one of them. It's a fight for me. But in order to give God time, when you talk about giving God time, that means you're giving your time in a sacrificial way. It takes time and energy to give God time. It takes energy. It takes discipline to do that. It's living a disciplined life of worship. We don't worship when we feel like it. We worship because we know that's what we were created to do, and we discipline ourselves to do it. Self, I don't care. We're going to worship the Lord. I don't care if it's... I do it at work, walking down, up and down, and when I'm doing stuff, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost under my breath. One of the biggest... It's been so cool. You know how, especially working with a lot of people, you meet people sometimes that just rub you the wrong way. And, the first thing you're thinking, and they do something and it just ticks you off. And so you're walking, and I did this one day. And I was walking, and somebody ticked me off. I don't know what they did. And I'm walking, and I'm thinking, and the Lord stopped me and says, hey. I said, what? He said, why don't you try praying for him? Why don't you try blessing them? And so I found myself starting to do that. Whenever somebody had ticked me off, or did I, instead of getting mad and thinking, oh, that knothead, why do you give this? I'd start saying, God bless them today. God, you do something in their life today. Lord, would you show them who you are? And you know what? I find myself not getting ticked off as much. Seriously, I'm being dead serious. It doesn't happen like And I don't go around getting ticked off all the time, but I mean, it doesn't happen as much. It doesn't happen as often because you know what? The enemy says, whoa, whoa. Can't do that anymore. Look what he's doing. I'm trying to get him ticked off at people and he's praying blessing over him. That's battling effectively. That's getting the tactics from God. That was God's tactic. That was him telling me, hey, you want to fight the enemy in this part of your life? Here's how you do it. And then it's picking it up and it's using it. So you give God its high priority. And the thing about this, I find out when you're giving God time and you're really wanting to, you don't have to be prompted to worship. You just know it's time. When the enemy comes against you, you don't have to have somebody walking up to you and go, ah, don't you think you should worship? Don't, you know, or have your husband or your wife say, hey, you need to go get with the Lord. No, you know. It's instinctive. It's battle time. I need to get with the Lord. I need to get before God. I need to get into his presence. I need to get ready to fight here because I can feel it coming on. So give God time. Second thing, how we ascend is continuous worship. Continuous worship. You worship at every opportunity you get. You worship at opportunities you don't get. Like I said, I've really started practicing this. Or if I'm doing something, and my job is, you know, there's something always going on, but I catch myself during the day, I'm walking, and just walking from one place to the other, and find myself praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost as I'm walking, or else just saying, Jesus, you're good. Father, you're so good. Lord, you're so good. And you take the opportunities. Every opportunity you get. Listen, this, folks, this is what we're going to, you think the word, according to this book, things are not going to get better. Things are not going to get better as far as this world is concerned. They're going to continue, evil's going to continue to increase. The enemy's going to increase and his attacks are going to get even more intense. And the word says this, he said, except the days were shortened, even the very elect would be deceived. That's how bad, that's how it's happening, and that's what's coming. So we have to take every opportunity. We have to be ready in a constant state. I love the story of Nehemiah and the building of the wall. They were not only builders, but they were warriors, because you can read there where it says, They troweled and bricked with one hand and held a sword in the other. They were ready. They prepared. They were prepared to rush. And you said you read where it says that whenever that Nehemiah gave him the command, whenever you hear the trumpet blow, that's where you go, because that's where the enemy is trying to get in. And they were in a constant state of readiness. So we worship at every opportunity. We don't need outside stimulus from anyone or anything to worship. You don't need to be stimulated to worship. Worship becomes such a part of you, it is a natural flow from you. It is as natural a part of your life as anything else is, as breathing. We can't afford to let our lives be cluttered with items and issues of this earth. I must say it again. Now, we all have, yeah, we got jobs, we got things, responsibilities, but we cannot afford to let those things clutter our life so badly that it chokes out worship in us and that it takes away from our time with the Lord. You worship despite of circumstances. You worship despite of thoughts. You worship despite of your emotions. You're not always going to feel like it. I will tell you right now, there are times when it's going to get easier to get mad than it will to stop and worship. There's going to be times when it's going to be easier to let your mouth do this instead of stopping and beginning to work and getting into that state of worship. Now, I don't mean you go around with it. Come on, use common sense. God gave us a brain. This is not going around with your hands in the air all the time, you know, laying hands on people, you know. That's not what this is. Worship is a constant, it's a mindset. It is a constant place that you are in your heart and in your spirit, where you are in constant flow of fellowship and communion with the Father. Hebrews 1 through 13 tells us that we receive this stuff from Jesus. So when we are in worship and we are in that place where we are in worship and Jesus is talking to us, basically what we are doing in worship is listening to him. We're listening to what he says. Number three, use the word in worship. Pray the word. Worship the word. Worship using the word. How do you do that? Well, look, you got a whole book here full of worship. Psalms are full of it. You want to have some powerful times of worship, just start walking and reading the Psalms while you're worshiping and read them out loud, proclaiming the Psalms and proclaiming that worship. And I'm telling you what, that's when you start changing the atmosphere from the natural to the supernatural. When you start to pray the word, when you start to worship the word, you are using that sword. And it is going out and it is doing battle and it is being used in battle against the enemy. Your words are being used, the words that you're speaking are being used to fight the enemy. That's how you're fighting him, is through the words. Praying and using the word in worship, it gives us a heavenly perspective. It keeps us focused on God. And not only that, but when you are praying the word, you are giving the enemy no room to invade. He can't invade while you're praying the word and you are worshiping the word. When you're walking back and forth and you're in your time of worship and you're saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all of his benefits." You're taking yourself into a different realm because God's saying, whoa, wait a minute. Look. Listen, that's worship. I'm tuned in. They're getting close. They're getting close to me, so now I can talk to them. Now I can give them what they need. So we pray the word. Last one, how do we ascend? You express your heart. God loves worship. God loves worship. Use whatever means that you need to that will best help you to express your heart to the Lord. So, we give God time. We're in a state of continuous praise. We pray and we worship the Word. And we express our heart. That's how we ascend. That's how we get to the place where we're ready for preparation. So how do we descend? What do we do when we are descending? Number one, when we descend and we are ready to go, and we're getting ready to fight, we walk in peace. We walk in peace. Hold fast to what has been revealed to you. Don't let the enemy steal it from you. Hold fast to what God has revealed to you. Hold fast to the tactics. They may not make any sense to you in the natural. But remember, you're not fighting in the natural. You're fighting in the supernatural. In the natural, it makes no sense to march around a city every day and not say a sound, and then on the seventh day march around it and shout. That in the natural, that makes no sense. In the natural, it doesn't make sense to send a little teenage boy out against a battle-hardened giant that had killed man after in the physical realm. That makes no sense. In the natural realm, it makes no sense, see? But David had gotten into the spiritual realm, see? He had moved on over into the spiritual realm. And because he had moved into the spiritual realm, that's why he was able to look at Goliath and say, I'm taking your head today. It wasn't because he was fighting in the natural. He got into the, and he did not sway, and he did not let the enemy take from him what God had revealed to him. Natural understanding is ineffective in spiritual warfare. Natural understanding is ineffective when it comes to spiritual warfare. Spiritual understanding moves us from the natural methods of fighting to the spiritual methods of fighting. Spiritual understanding takes us from the natural methods that we would like to fight in and takes us into the spiritual methods where God says, no, do it this way. If you do it this way. I mean, check this book out. God did things and gave guys battle plans that were just so off the wall. Not even, I mean, come on. But walking in peace, you walk in peace. You walk in peace when God gives you the revelation. You walk and say, God, I may not see it. I don't feel it. It doesn't look like it, but I'm walking in peace because this is how you said to do it. This is how you said. This. That's why we sing songs like, this is how I fight my battles. Huh? It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And so when you walk and when you descend, that's the first thing you want to do. Because when you come out of that time of worship and that time where you have been in God's presence and you have gotten your, first thing the enemy is going to try to do is take it from you and snatch it from you and say, that ain't going to work. What are you thinking? What are you going to? No. We put all that aside and say, listen, I'm walking in peace. Because you said the peace, Jesus, that you gave me passes all understanding. That it wasn't a peace that the world knows. It's the peace that you give. And if you said to do this, if this is how you want it done, then that's what I'm going to do, regardless of what I see, regardless of what I think, regardless of what I feel, regardless of what circumstances. It may get, things may get worse. And most often they do. But see, that's what we do. We walk in peace. We walk in knowing what God has said. Jesus, help me, I'm running out of time. Second thing, listen carefully. Listen carefully. When you come out of that time of prayer and that time of worship and you begin to get ready to go in battle, listen for God to give you strategy and instructions. Jesus said this, my sheep know my voice. I know you've had people talking, how do you hear from God? I've never been able to get him a good, clear answer. I just say, I don't know, I do. He speaks, I listen. I know it's him. End of the debate. And again, this comes through revelation. Revelation comes through faith, which is strengthened and increased through worship. I'm going to tell you that again. This ability to listen comes through revelation. And revelation comes through faith. Faith is strengthened and increased by worship. If you don't take anything away from this, understand this. We talk a lot about faith around here, don't we? We do. It's strengthened. When you come into a place of worship, when you are in that mode of worship, your faith increases. God increases your faith. He strengthens your faith so that when you come out, you're not coming out based on your emotions. You're not coming out based, you're coming out clothed in his presence. You're coming out clothed in his word. You're coming out ready and with full of his word, full of the instructions, full of his wisdom, full of his power. And that's how we're supposed to fight. That's how we need to fight. Spiritual insight comes as our spiritual ears become tuned to hear God speak. Spiritual insight, spiritual revelation comes as in worship and coming out of worship, When you come out of a time of worship, your spiritual senses should be heightened. When you are coming out of that time of being in the presence of God, your spiritual senses should be increased. They should be heightened. Boy, some of you are looking at me weird when I said that. It's the truth. Spiritual insight comes because our spiritual ears are tuned to hear what God speaks. We're tuned in. We're ready. When I was young and I played sports, that's how I got ready. I'd put the big head, we had big headphones in, big headphones. And I'd put them things in. Or on the way to where I was going, I had this thing called an 8-track player in my car. Some of you don't even have a clue as what I'm talking about here. Anyway. And I'd crank that bad boy as loud as I could get it while I'm going. And when I hit the field or I hit the court, I was ready to go. Why? Because I had gotten myself into a place where I was focused and I was ready. When you come out of the present, you come out of that time of worship, you're focused. You should be focused. Your spiritual focus should be sharp. Your spiritual focus should be clear. We descend and we come into where we're ready to fight by living expectantly. Living expectantly. Believe in what the Scripture says. Expect the Scripture to work for you. Expect God to keep His word. Expect that the plan, the tactics God has given you are going to work and that they are foolproof. Don't come into battle thinking, well, I sure hope this works. You're defeated before you ever hit the battlefield. You go in knowing, I've prepared. I've done what I've got my instructions. My captain has given me my instructions. I have the battle plan. I will follow it, and I expect victory. One of my favorite parts, and I got 3 minutes. One of my favorite parts, and one of my favorite parts of the Old Testament, especially, I love reading, especially in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, and there was these guys. They were called David's Mighty Men. These guys did stuff that was just stupid. Okay, I mean, one guy kills 1,000 men in one battle with a sword. No AK, no AR, just a sword. I get maybe 1,000. I think it was like 800 or something. I mean, it was a bunch. Okay, and you read about what these guys did, and you think, how does that happen? They were expecting to win. They didn't go into that battle thinking, well, man, I hope I do okay today. No, they knew they were going to do okay. You want to whip the enemy and you want the enemy to retreat before you. You go in knowing, I'm going to be okay. I may take a lick here and there, but guess what, devil? Guess who's coming out on top of this one? It ain't going to be you. It's going to be me. You expect God to keep His word. You expect the promises of this word to come to pass. You expect that the things that God tells you to do will work and they will defeat the enemy. Expect, expect, expect. And the last thing, and this is the term you don't hear much anymore, but it used to be a real common term in the church. And that is, when you descend and you get ready and you're ready to fight, it's because you have prayed through. Prayed through. What do you mean, pray through? That means you don't quit until you get what you need. I'll say it again. You don't quit until you get what you need. Most of us don't get what we need because we're throwing up microwave prayers. Do it and do it quick, Lord. I got 5 minutes, so we got to get all... No. Praying through means that you pray your way through the issues. You pray your way through this. You worship your way through the issues. You don't stop worshiping just because you get into battle. You swing the sword. You pray in the spirit. You worship while you're doing battle. And you keep praying and you keep worshiping until you are surrounded with truth and with God's presence. This is how we fight our battles. 8 o'clock. Can you give me just another minute? One more. I can't go over 8:05 because Sean said Heidi will come up and take me out. So I'm going to end of this. There's a story, and back in the days of the knights and you know those guys. And there was when the lords ruled over the lands, and different lords would have, kings would have rule over land, and different lords would be in different areas ruling for them. And there was this one land, and the king was just, he was a tyrant. And anytime any of the lords in the land would gather their army and come against him, he would crush the rebellion, and he had this habit of putting the lord that he defeated, he would put them on chains with his dogs. And he was an oppressed the people. It was an oppressive time. And there was one time when this young lord rose up, and he decided, enough of this. And so he began to prepare his army for war. And he took them up into the mountains, and he began to train them, and he began to teach them what it was going to take to win, what it was going to take to defeat the king. And so he was watching one day, and he knew, it's time, we can go, they're ready. And so he took off with his army. Well, news traveled and way ahead of them coming, and the king knew they were coming, so he brought his army and they met. And you know how you seen the movies, you know, one army's over here, one army's over here. And the king sent an emissary to this young lord, and they were still in the mountains. And he said, the king's message to you is this. If you don't turn around right now, disband your army and go home, by morning, you will be on his chain with his dogs. And the young lord stood up, and he pointed to one of his men. The man came forward, and he said, run, throw yourself over that cliff. Without hesitation, that young soldier took off, ran and jumped off of that cliff and died on the rocks below. He pointed to another young soldier, and the young pointed him up. The young soldier, he said, take your dagger out and thrust it through your heart. Without a moment's hesitation, that young soldier took his dagger out and thrust it in his heart and died there at the young lord's feet. And the young lord looked at the king's emissary. He said, you go tell the king that by morning he's going to be on my chain with my dogs. And the emissary went back. He was blown away by this. And he told the king what he had saw. He said, and the king's army standing around there. And he told him what he saw. And the king's army says, yeah, we're not fighting against guys like that. Are you crazy? And the king's army left. And you know what? By morning, the king was on the chains with the young lord's dogs. Why? Because he had taught his men what it was going to take to win. And his men knew what it was going to take to win. It may cost them their lives, but in the end, what was going to bring 50 for them was total and complete 100 without thinking about it, obedience to the tactics that the young lord was laying out. It's the same with us, folks. This is how we fight our battles. We don't fight ineffectively, but we fight smart. We fight using our hearts. We use fighting the tactics that God has given us. Amen? I hope you got something out of this tonight. I did when I was studying out. This was a fun one. Because you know what? You come out of this kind of stuff, and I mean, you're ready. Come on. You're ready to go. But if you use these things, you're going to see the enemy retreating from you more and more. And you're going to see yourself walking in more and more victory, greater victory. Amen?
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.